This morning we're going to head back to 1 Peter chapter 2, so I'd encourage you to have your Bible to open up there with me as we look at just a few verses. Three verses we're going to consider, but these are important verses because, again, it shows us, as we've been talking about so far in 1 Peter, our responses to authority really has a great impact in our relationship with the world and a great impact in our witness to others that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What kind of reputation do we have as Christians? Specifically, what kind of reputation do you have? Do you have the same kind of reputation wherever you go? Do you have the same kind of reputation at work that you might have at home? And do you have the same kind of reputation at home that you might have even here at church? Did you know that your reputation and your character, what people take away from you, has a great impact on whether or not someone is going to hear the gospel from you or not? Our reputation is so critical in our witness to the world. In fact, if there's nothing different in our lives as Christians, the world may just close us out. Say, we don't want to hear what you have to say because we don't see any distinction. There is no difference. There's no vital link between your relationship with God and your reaction and your reputation. Especially when we realize that we are going through similar situations that the world goes through. We all experience problems, persecutions, issues, but it's our reactions to those things that really ought to show a difference between our life as Christians and their life as unbelievers and non-Christians. We all have similar situations. We all experience suffering, both believers and unbelievers alike. You know, we've been praying for the Hensleys, and we need to continue to pray for them. But they're Christians, and so they know that God is working in this and through this illness for His glory and for their good. And we can be confident in that as Christians. But there are unbelievers that are going through similar problems and circumstances in their life as well. They're going through the same kinds of suffering, sometimes even worse suffering, because they don't know what their future is going to be like. They don't know what's going to happen after death. But we all experience this kind of suffering, believers and unbelievers alike. But how do you respond to the suffering that is in your life? If you profess to be a Christian and a child of God, is there a difference? Is there a change between how the world responds to their suffering and how you respond to your suffering? Do we have the kind of reputation that a Christian should have when we respond to suffering in that way? We all also experience authority. It doesn't matter whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, whether you go to church or don't ever go to church. We all face authority, don't we? We all have to submit to the government. We all have authority structure in our lives as parents or bosses and different people that we have to submit to, authority figures that we must respond to. But the question is there a difference in how you respond to authority in your life than an unbeliever responds to authority in their life? Because if there's no difference, then there may not be much of a reputation for you to share the gospel with. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, Peter told us, if you look there for a moment, that we are to have our conversation honest among the Gentiles. Now, if you remember, that word conversation doesn't mean just the words that you talk. It means the life that you live, your lifestyle. You and I, as Christians, need to have our conversation honest. And again, that's not just talking about speaking the truth. We need to tell the truth. But it's talking about a noble, good lifestyle. One that is different. One that people can say, hey, there's something different about that person. There's something going on in that person's life. And Peter says, this is one of the most effective ways for you and I to be a witness to the world, is if we have our conversation honest among the Gentiles. That, he says, and here's the ultimate goal for this, it's so that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, by your conversation that is honest, by your good works, which they are beholding, the world is always watching, that they may glorify God in the day of visitation. This is one of the main reasons why we need to respond properly to suffering in our life. This is one of the main reasons why we need to respond properly to authority in our life, is so that when the world is watching those responses, they will see those responses, they will see the difference in our responses than their responses, and they too can come to a saving knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and become Christians like we are. That is what Peter is saying. The suffering that you face and how you respond to that has a great impact in your witness to the world for Jesus Christ. And also, as we're going to look at here this morning, like we looked at last week, how you and I respond to authority in our life is going to go a long way in your Christian reputation to share the gospel with other people. If there's no difference in our response to authority than their response to authority, do we really think that we can share with them the Word of God if they don't see it and practice in our life? We need to recognize this important part of having a conversation that is noble before the world. And this is what Peter is looking at. One key to having this kind of reputation, this Christian character and reputation, is submission to authority. Now, this is probably one of the hardest things to do, to submit to authority that God has placed in our life. We looked at one last week from verses 13 through 17. He said, submit yourselves as subjects to the government, basically. So we have certain governmental authorities that we are to submit ourselves to. How'd you do driving this week? Did you remember that? Did you remember that God has provided these authorities in our life so we are to submit to and abide by the laws that they create? Is this something that came to mind as you were driving, making sure you're abiding by all the laws that are there? We need to make sure, again, this is part of our character. This is part of our reputation before the world. If we want to have a genuine witness to the world, we need to make sure that we're responding properly as subjects to the authority of our civil government. But then he also tells us that we need to submit as servants. And this is what we're going to look at this morning, verses 18 through 20. And this, again, submission is the hardest thing for us to do. But you know, sometimes the hardest substance, the hardest things to do, are the most valuable things. The hardest substance that we know of is a diamond. Some of you ladies are wearing diamonds today. And those diamonds are very, very strong, very, very hard. In fact, with our son, he was interested in rocks for a time there. And if you were to decide what kind of a rock, you have a specimen of what kind of rock that is, you have certain scales. And there's a scale of hardness. And I believe talc is the lowest on the scale of hardness. And then the highest is a diamond. The word diamond that we have comes from the Greek word atomos. Atomos, diamond, which means unbreakable. And so even though that is a hard substance, it is also one of the most valuable substances. That is why you can go to a jewelry store and have to shell out thousands of dollars for something like a diamond. But you know, submission also, even though it is hard for us to do, hard for us to submit to authorities that God has placed in our life, it is critical because the hardest things are usually the most valuable in our life, and it's going to reflect in our testimony and witness to the world. Do you want to have an influence upon this community and upon your neighborhood and upon this world for Jesus Christ? Peter's saying one of the best ways to do that is through submission to authority. And again, this is something for us that is hard to understand. As we looked at last week, liberty and submission go hand in hand. That's hard for us to comprehend. And so it is in submission to authorities as servants. And we come to verse 18 where Peter says, again, servants. Now he's talking not specifically to everyone who has government authority over them, but now specifically servants, those who have a job to do, those who have duties to accomplish. Servants, be subject. That's the same word that we see in verse 13. Submit yourselves. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience sake toward God endures grief and suffers wrongfully, for what glory is it, he says, if when you are buffeted or literally stricken or beaten for your faults, you will take it patiently. But if when you do well and you suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God, and this kind of witness to the world is going to be effective in their lives as well. One of the best ways for you to be a witness to the world, and specifically here, a witness at work, is to submit to authority. You see, it's not just what you say. What you say is important because it is the Word of God that actually convicts men of sin and of their lifestyle before God and shows them their need of salvation. But if what we say does not match up with how we live, then what we say is going to fall on deaf ears. So yes, what we say is important, but it's how you serve. And specifically, Peter here is describing about those who are serving in households. Those who are serving others. So it's talking about people at work. Now we have some people that are still working today, and we have others that are retired. So how is this going to apply to all of us? Well, ultimately, it comes down to how we witness while we work. You may not have a 9-to-5 job that you go to anymore. You may be retired, but there are things that you do. There are people that you work with in other affairs. And how you respond to authority in your life while you work will have a tremendous impact on the people that you are working with. And so as we look at this, we need to remember that this applies to our response to all authorities. But witnessing while you work is one of the most important ways for us to have an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that it's not just for those who serve at work, it's for anyone who serves through work. Do you want to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ wherever and whenever you work? Then you need to have an effective testimony through submission. The first thing that we see in this passage is, verse 18, there is a plea for witnessing while you work. There's a plea for having this kind of submission that people will say, hey, there's something different about that person in their life. There's something that I want that I don't have. There's a plea here. Peter says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Peter is calling on all servants to submit to their masters, whoever those masters are and whatever kind of masters they are. Now you think, wow, that's a pretty harsh verse. It doesn't matter the kind of master that they had to serve. They still had to submit. They still had to be subject to them. They still had to listen. They had to obey and they had to serve. Submission is key to having a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this plea was directed to servants. Now, the servants that Peter was writing to were actually a kind of household slave. These were literal slaves. They were people who were involuntary servants. They had no choice of who their master was. They had no choice of the kind of duties that they had to do. They had no choice in their jobs. They had no choice in how long they were to serve. These literally are slaves. They were in bondage, and they didn't have a choice of who their master was. And yet, Peter says to those slaves, even though you are in probably the worst situation that we could ever imagine as free-born Americans, he says, you, as a slave, need to submit to your master. Now, this is not like us. We are free. We are free. We live in a state which provides at-will employment. You can work for whoever you want for as long as you want, and you can quit or you can be fired for whatever reason, or if there's no reason at all, unless you have a contract. But we recognize this is not something that is directed to us. I am not a slave. When I go to do work, I can change my employer. I can change my rate of pay. I can change my job. In fact, there's some people that are doing one job and they say, I don't like that anymore. And they completely do something opposite. And you have every right to do that as an American. But if Peter is saying to slaves who had absolutely no choice to submit to their authority and by that submission have a witness to the world for Jesus Christ, how much more should we who have this liberty, both as American and as a Christian, and have these freedoms to be able to choose some of these things that these slaves did not have the ability to choose, how much more should we voluntarily submit to the authorities that God has placed over us, even where we work, so that we can have a witness for Jesus Christ? This is the distinction here. They had no choice in who they were serving. We do. But now Peter is saying we need to use our liberty not to say, okay, I'm not going to submit to this person anymore, but rather I am going to submit because my lifestyle how I live and how I work and how I respond to authority is going to have a big impact on whether or not what I say to them about the gospel is going to work in their life. Can God use your witness at work through your submission to authority? Peter is writing to us. Peter is writing to us. It's a plea to servants, to all servants, not just slaves, but it's also a plea for submission. He says again, be subject to your masters. This is the same response to authority that we've already seen, and this is the same response to authority that we're going to see throughout the rest of this passage, going on to chapter 3. The life of a Christian is a life of submission. The life of a Christian is always about a life of submission. Now, who were they supposed to submit to? These slaves were supposed to submit to their masters. That word master comes from the Greek word that we get our word despot from. A tyrant. He's saying these are the kind of people that you are serving, these masters, and you have to submit to them no matter who they are and no matter how they treat you. That's what Peter says. This is a Christian response. And this is a Christian responsibility. You say, well, I can't do that. That's hard. That's the point. Because he says, as he goes on, if you are able to submit to good authorities, it doesn't really give you praise. It doesn't really give you that much impact with the world for Jesus Christ. But if you have the character of Christ and you submit to the authority that God has placed over you, even in adverse circumstances, you can have a witness to the world that has a great, great impact. It's a plea for submission. Now, how can a Christian be expected to submit to that kind of person? Well, we need to remember that these masters, these despots, as one writer put it, the power of the master was absolute and unquestioned, even to the arbitrary infliction of the most cruel punishments and of death itself. Thank goodness we don't have those kind of bosses. But even if we did, Peter says we're supposed to submit. We're supposed to submit. A Christian can do this because we don't live for ourselves. We live for another. We don't live for the praise of men. We live for the praise of God. And so it leads us to a plea with sacrifice. Paul called us, if you remember, in Romans chapter 12, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. It is a sacrifice to submit to the authority of those that we work for, especially in the kind of way that Peter says. Peter says that we are to submit to our masters. How? Three words. But these three words are deep and powerful. With all fear. With all fear. It is easy for us to just go along, even if you had a bad boss, to go along with what they have to say and just to do it, but you're grumbling and griping inside and to your coworkers and everyone else. That's not the kind of submission that God is talking about. That's not the kind of submission that God can use to bring others to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. With all fear is not just a submission in actions, but it's a submission in attitude as well. All fear. It's an all-encompassing respect and an all-encompassing attitude of submission. It reflects your thoughts. It starts there, doesn't it? What we say always comes from what we think about. What do you think about the authority in your life? It starts there. Do you respect your authority with all fear, beginning with your thoughts? And then it goes down to your talk. What do you say about your boss? What do you say about those authorities in your life? And then do you say those things to other people? Again, are you submitting in all fear? Are you submitting to your authorities in a way that people can say, hey, there's something different about that person? It also extends to your treatment of those leaders and those people who are in authority. Are you living a life that is blameless before that person? Are you also fearing and submitting to them in your talents? Sometimes you can say, well, I'll get back at that boss by not doing my best. Because if I do something bad, it'll reflect bad on him. Have you ever done that? Again, it's talking about all fear, submitting not just in the right actions, but also in the right attitudes. It extends also to your time. In every case, Peter says, in every case, there are no exceptions to this. If you are under the authority of someone while you are working, you are to submit to that authority in all fear and with all respect. Now, is this how we respond to our authorities in our life? Peter says it's not only to the good and gentle. That word gentle means those who are fair, those who are the ones that we like. We've all had bosses that we like. We've all worked for people that we enjoy working for. It didn't feel like work. We think they deserve our submission. They deserve our respect. It's easy. But the real test comes when Peter says, again in verse 18, but also to the froward. Now that word froward means crooked. To those crooks. Those people who don't deserve it. They don't deserve my submission. They don't deserve my respect. And Peter says, they are the ones that you must submit to, and they are the ones that you must submit with all fear and respect so that that test can be passed. And so when people see your reactions and response in that pressure cooker of a situation, they can say, that's the kind of gospel that changes lives. That's the kind of gospel that I want in my life. That's the kind of Jesus that I want to take over in my life and change me completely because I've seen it in their life and I know if He can do it in their life, He can do it in my life. Is this how we serve when we work? Is this how we serve when we work? Do we serve with submission to the authority that God has placed in our life? We will do this if we truly realize that this is one of the best ways to witness at work. I've talked to many of you say, well, you know, I'd like to talk to this person at work and tell about the Lord. Don't know what to say or how to put it. The best way to start is in your submission to the authority structure wherever and whenever you work. And you do it with all respect. Through submission to authority. Their primary goal was not release from slavery back then, but a Christ-like life. And that ought to be our goal. It's not so much trying to get away from this authority that is oppressive to me. It's not about focusing on our rights, but rather focusing on our responsibilities as well as our opportunities to live a Christ-like life and be a witness to the world. And then we come to verse 19 where we see that there is a practice of witnessing while you work. You say, well, how can I do this, Pastor? How can I do this, Peter? How is it that I can live this kind of submissive life to the authority wherever I work? Well, he says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Peter here in this verse shows us how a Christian can demonstrate submission in a real life situation. We need to practice this kind of submission for God's approval. We see God's approval in the very first phrase in verse 19. Peter says, this is thankworthy. That word thankworthy is actually translated from the word charis, which is translated so many other times in the New Testament as grace. And if you insert grace in there, we're going to see how you and I can actually do this, submitting to authorities of even people that we don't like. He says, for this is grace. This is grace. You see, when you submit to authority, not for the praise of man, but if you submit to authority for the praise of God and His approval, you know what? That is when you are going to say, hey, I can live this kind of submissive life to authority. I don't have to do it in my own strength because I'm not trying to please them. I'm trying to please God. Have you ever worked for someone that there was no way you could please him? No matter how hard you worked, no matter what you did, you bent over backwards for them. You did every single thing you could think of to do something right, and they still weren't pleased. You say, well, I can't submit to them anymore. I can't respect that kind of authority. Peter says, you must and you can. Because it's not about you doing it. It's about God's grace at work in your life to do it. And he says, this is of grace, Christian. You're not going to be able to do this on your own. You're only going to be able to do this if you're seeking the approval of God and not of men. It is so easy for us to seek man's approval and forget about God's. He says, turn it around. When you seek after God's approval in whatever you do, it doesn't matter whether you're working at a 9-to-5 job or working back here at trying to set things up for the handicap accessibility. It doesn't matter how you work. If you are submitting it to the approval of God, then you're going to submit in the way that you ought to your authorities. If you're seeking after God's approval and favor, you will and you can respond with a submission to authority, even the worst kind of authorities. The question is your relationship with God right? You see, He's our judge. He's the one that we ought to submit to. He's the one that we're trying to serve. And so, yes, we are slaves in a sense. We're slaves of God, who is our good master. He's not a despot. He's not a tyrant. But he is someone that deserves our respect and our submission. And so if your relationship with God is right, then your relationship with your other authorities can be right. So we need to practice this submission for God's approval. And then we also need to practice with awareness. It goes on and says that if a man for conscience toward God endure grief. Now this conscience toward God has the idea of a full awareness of God. A full consciousness of who God is and what God is doing in those circumstances. If you realize that God is in control of your situation, you're not going to buckle when you are faced with authority that are not kind. They're mean and nasty. And you're going to be able to respond to authority in the right way if you have a full awareness of God. Are you fully aware of God's presence? He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And so even if you feel like you're being persecuted when you're working and while you're at work, you know what? God is with you. And if we truly have that consciousness, a conscience toward God, if we are fully aware that God is present with me, no matter where I go, no matter what I do, it's going to make submitting to that kind of authority much, much easier. Because the whole point of that respect is so that the world can see the difference in our life so we can share the gospel. It's a full awareness of God's power. You know, if we focus on our rights and our power, we're not focusing on God's power and God's rights over the situation. God has put us in place for a reason. We need to have a full awareness of God's providence and God's purpose for these things. These persecutions are in our life, and even of God's praise. I like how Simon Kistemaker writes it. He says, when a believer is conscious of God, with a full awareness of God, God gives him the necessary strength to bear the pain, extends to him grace and mercy, and is fully in control of every situation. And he does this even if the authority doesn't deserve submission. This is why we need to practice with an awareness of God and for the approval of God. And only then will we be able to practice through the affliction. And we see this going on in verse 19. This is when we can endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You've heard it asked, why do bad things happen to good people? Simple answer, sin. There's no good person. Okay, it's sin. We're all sinners. Started back with Adam and Eve. And so the reason why bad things happen to good people is because there's nobody good, in a sense, in the moral sense, that God expects. We've all sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's why bad things happen. But what about Christians? Why do bad things happen to Christian people? Sometimes that's a question we wonder about. Especially when those bad things are what we think are undeserved. And that's what he's saying there in verse 19. When you endure grief and you suffer wrongfully, in other words, something bad is happening to someone who is a Christian, how do we respond? The reason why these happen is so you have the opportunity to bear a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever thought about that? The reason why bad things happen to Christian people is so that you have the opportunity to show Christ in your life. To show a character so people can see that difference. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Sometimes the brightest ray of sun comes through the darkest clouds. Over the last few days it's been relatively cloudy, dreary. Sometimes you just think, is it ever going to stop? And then every once in a while, you'll see that the clouds start to break up and everywhere else it's dark, everywhere else it's grim. And then there's that bright, shining light. And you know that the sun is up there. It's up there. And you see that beam and it's almost blinding. It is so bright. And that is what it is like to the world for a Christian who is suffering wrongfully. And yet they still maintain that character. They still maintain that reputation of submission, even to authorities that don't deserve it. It is like a bright ray of sun going through the gloomiest of circumstances, and it shines right on those unbelievers who will see the difference in you and recognize that that difference doesn't come from you. That difference is a reflection of the light of God in you, the light of God that is shown upon you, and a light that can also lead them out of their darkness. We must realize one of the greatest ways for us to witness while we work is to submit to authority. And then also in verse 20, we see third that there is also a purpose. There's a purpose for witnessing while you work. Then he adds, for what glory is it if when you are buffeted or hit for your faults, that you should take it patiently. He's saying, hey, if you do something wrong, expect to be punished and disciplined. And if you take that discipline and you deserve that discipline, no one's going to say, wow, look how he's taking that. There's nothing credit worthy about that. There's nothing impressive about you taking punishment for something you deserve. But in verse 20, if when you do well and don't deserve to be punished or disciplined, but if you do well and suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Why should we respond with submission to authority, especially when they mistreat us? It's because we have a purpose. And that purpose is for a good report. He asks, what glory is it? That word glory can also be credit. What credit is this? What kind of report is it if you suffer for something that you did wrong? Are you going to get any credit for it? No. What kind of report do you want? You want the kind of report, especially as a Christian, that people will see and say, hey, there's a difference there. Every year when I was working at the bank or at Charles Schwab, when I was working as a stockbroker, always came those annual reviews. Hated those annual reviews. And when I was a manager, I hated them worse because I had to give the reviews. But there's a lot of work that goes into those, and you have to set goals and standards and all these different things. But what was the purpose of those? It was to show where we were strong and where we were weak and where we were challenged and what we needed to do to make up for those deficiencies. Annual reviews are good. But when I was working, very often, it wasn't just for working for God and doing it as unto Him, but I also want to have a good review. Because my raises were based on my reviews. If I had a good review, I got a good raise. And so it was important to me to have a good credit and a good testimony and a good work ethic. And so we see this not only in our life, but also as Christians. He says, there is absolutely no praise for you if you get what you deserve and you take it patiently. That's what he's saying here. You see, in order to be an effective witness, you need to have a good report to the world. You need to have a good reputation. And that's a good goal to have, but it's not for the praise of men. It's for the praise of God. And it's an opportunity for us to share the world what He's done for us. It's the purpose of a good report, and then also the purpose of a good response. You will never have a good report and a good testimony before the world if you do not have the right response to authority. Now, we're not just talking about authority of your bosses. We're talking about any authority. Have you ever gotten into conversation when you're at work or with someone just around town about authority? How you respond to authority affects your reputation. How you think about them, how you talk about them, how you treat them affects your reputation. And that reputation is one of the most powerful witnesses to the world for Jesus Christ. He says, this good response is even when you are buffeted for your faults. He says, if you are derelict in your duties, then you deserve any discipline you're going to get. If you don't do the right things, you deserve it. But you're not going to have the kind of testimony that is necessary to make a difference if you do that. That's why Christians need to have a good work ethic. That's why Christians need to be the best that they can be and work hard, because that kind of response and that kind of report to the world will lend credibility for what the gospel has done in your life. And then it comes to that purpose of a good reward. And this is ultimately where it's at. This reward is from the Lord. He says in verse 20, but if when you do well and you suffer for it and you take it patiently. Again, it was undeserved. He says this is acceptable with God. Now that word acceptable is the exact same word as thankworthy in verse 19. What was that word? Charis. Grace. Again, let's use that word instead. He says, if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is grace from God. Again, who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to serve? Who are you trying to seek the approval of? God. This is the grace of God at work. If your duty is difficult and your discipline is undeserved and you endure it patiently, then he says here, you will receive the gift of God's grace. And the gift of God's grace is what will come just in time, just in the nick of time to help you in your time of need. That's what he says. If you need God's grace, it's available to you. And then you'll receive his approval. It's like he says in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you especially when you don't deserve it, and shall say all manner of evil falsely against you for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, even though Peter was writing this to slaves, it still applies to us. What kind of reputation do we have when we work or where we work? What kind of witness are you? What kind of testimony do we bear for the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in your relationship with your boss or your leaders or your employers or other people that you work for and with? How do you respond to authority in your life? How do you respond to authority in your workplace or where you're working? In order to have that kind of impact that Peter talks about, where in verse 12 they're going to watch you and glorify God in the day of visitation, if you want God to use your witness at work, then we need to submit to the authorities that God has placed in every aspect of our life. Then, and only then, will we be servants that are subject to our masters with all fear. And he says, not only to the good and gentle in verse 18, but also to the froward. Remember that submissive service is one of the best ways for you to witness to others in the world. Submission to authority. Again, it's something hard, but it's the most valuable thing in our life. Submission is the life of a Christian. And if we have a hard time submitting to authority, it's again a reflection of our submission to God's authority. Are we going to submit to His authority in our life? If we are, we're going to submit to other authorities in our life. We've already looked at subjection to the government authorities. We've looked at serving those who we work for and those who we are employed with. We need to serve and submit to them. And we're going to see a few others. But before we go, remember that as a Christian, we ought to have a good testimony for the world. We ought to have a good reputation. It starts with our submission to authority.